the Teutonic Knights, you know, in were very much, you know, operated like the Knights Templar, for example.
Sure.
You know, there were various groups of knights during the medieval era, during Dark Ages, who went around, you know, protecting pilgrims to the Holy Land. The Teutonic Knights were very different in that it was a distinctly Germanic brotherhood. In order to join the Teutonic Knights, you had to prove your ancestry back generations in a way that the Knights Templar, you didn't. The French could join the Knights Templar, Spanish, English, so forth.
I'm just going to push on that just to the idea of the Teutonic Knights at the end of World War II. Is this new? Is this something that you uncovered? Is this something that Walter Horn, who is the subject of much of the research of this book, is it something that only he uncovered? And has anybody else really written about this before the book?
No one has written about it in any detail. There have been references to it. We know, for example, that Heinrich Himmler reconstituted the Teutonic Knights, and in his castle in Velazburg, actually had a whole section of the castle devoted to the Teutonic Knights. But they were a secret SS organization.
All right, we're good. All right, so thanks for letting me walk that back a little bit, because I just wanted to see. I think that's what so much about what you wrote here in Hitler's Holy Relics was so interesting. Was I'd never heard of this idea that there a new version of the Teutonic Knights or a new brotherhood was actually rising from the ashes of Nuremberg, literally at the end of World War II, to take the crown jewels away and to lead them into some place of secrecy where they could be used to start a future Nazi Fourth Reich. And that's the part I just really thought, oh, that is so trippy. Because my understanding was before this was that Hitler was against all secret societies. He eschewed secret societies in general, correct?
Yes. He absolutely suppressed, you know, the Freemasons, many different secret societies. But I think what was going on was that he didn't want any cult other than his own. And you know, the Teutonic Knights, of course, for Heinrich Himmler, I mean, there's a long history there, you know, is the perfect organization with which to do that. And it's particularly fascinating in terms of Hitler's Holy Relics that the Teutonic Knights were the ones who traditionally protected the crown jewels.
Right. So this notion, the Teutonic Knights, as you were saying earlier, and I had redirected you from it, but the Teutonic Knights they were a real legitimate organization. We know that they were like the Knights Templar or the Knights Hospitaller. They eventually disbanded, some would say, or went underground or whatever. But they did not have a legacy that came up to the beginning of World War II. So Heinrich Himmler, the Reichsfuhrer, the second in command, essentially, he created one for them. But do we know if Hitler was aware that Himmler was resurrecting the Teutonic Knights? Do we know that Hitler knew that?
There are no public statements to that effect. However, it's abundantly clear that they were, you know, that among the SS, among the inner circle, they certainly knew about them beyond question.
And so you make the claim in Hitler's Holy Relics that at the end of World War II, of all of the religious, liturgical, ceremonial, sacramental plunders of war that were being held by the Nazis in Nuremberg, that the representatives from the Teutonic Knights come in and take out the crown jewels of the Holy Roman Empire. They take them out before the Americans can get there. They leave everything else in the vault except that, and they take those out. And that this was done by under orders from Himmler, under understanding orders from Hitler. Himmler, who do we know?
Yes, absolutely. Bureau 2 of the SS. You know, the vault where they kept them, I mean, even that is just an absolutely, you know, fascinating piece of architecture.
It
you know,
is.
This was a hidden bunker carved underneath Nuremberg Castle. You can go in there today. You can actually, you know, if you visit Nuremberg, you can make an appointment to go into this bunker. You can't do that with the Hitler bunker in Berlin, but you can do that in Nuremberg. So, you know, I urge anybody, any of your listeners, take that tour. It is it's extraordinary. You go down, you know, 200 feet underground and into this sort of, you know, it's a reconstituted, you know, beer cellar. And,
right.
And, you know, it's concrete sides. And then you see these giant vault doors. And one vault in particular, you know, the door is like 2 feet thick. And it had this special air conditioning ventilation units, had, water tanks, bathrooms, SS guard facilities in it. It was
right.
A completely self-sustaining operation because they, you know, they suspected the Allies were coming. They knew the bombers were certainly coming, and they wanted these things protected.
So the end of the war comes, and these members of this the newly reformed Teutonic Knights from Himmler, these representatives, they grab the crown jewels. Where do they take them?
Well, the suspicion, what Allied intelligence were able to ferret out, and they, you know, they did a bit of investigation here. What you know, the CIC, OSS, you know, of course the OSS became the CIA. What they figured had happened was that the SS had come into Nuremberg just before the fall of the city, taken, you know, the choice items from the vault, put them in Heinrich Himmler's, you know, Mercedes limousine, and driven the car into the south side of Lake Zell in Austria, you know, which is a very deep lake, to protect them. You know, they had put them in these sealed metal canisters and, you know, drove them into the lake.
And buried them in the water.
That's what they believe.
That was the story.
That was the official story.
I love your explanation of why these Teutonic Knights took the crown jewels of the Holy Roman Empire, but left behind the Spear of Destiny. At first, it doesn't make any sense. The Spear of Destiny is not that big. If you're taking all of this other stuff, you might as well toss that into the box. But they left it behind. Why?
Well, there are certainly, you know, different theories on that, and it, you know, certainly one theory is that by the time the war changed, by the time the tides of the war changed, you know, Nuremberg was actually, you know, turned into ruins. I mean, more bombs were dropped on Nuremberg than on Dresden, than on practically any city in all of Europe. I mean, it was just, you know, total devastation. And, you know, the theory being that, well, you know, the Spear of Destiny certainly couldn't have protected us because look what the hell's happened.